Welcome to Bad Examples. Woo! I'm Tracy.
And I'm Jessica.
And we were on Style Network's reality shows Jerseylicious and Glam Fairy, which followed Jessica as a makeup artist and me as a hairstylist. So obviously you may think that this whole podcast is going to be about beauty, but you would be wrong. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about everything from love to relationships to sex to just being a hoe. We are your new go-to girls for everything bad. Hey guys, welcome back to Bad Examples. We are very excited that you guys came back to visit us. I hope that we do not let you down, but we have like a really lot to talk about this week. Like I feel like we have a lot of things to dive into and just like really address. So like, let's get it popping.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Like, let's do it.
I'm going to start with my questions for you because as a new wife, you know, everyone asks me probably once a day, when are you having kids?
Oh my God, isn't that annoying?
Oh, it's like the curse of
first of all, of what if you can't have kids? Like, that's the most, please don't ask people that. Please don't ask. And then if a person has one kid, please don't ask them, like, when are you having the next? Like, maybe they only could have one. Like, that's super uncomfortable.
I was going to say, by the way, like, not every woman is, like, super fertile and can just pop out babies like Tracy.
Yeah, it's super offensive. I'm sorry, yeah. I'm fertile myrtle. Like, it just happens.
It is. It's super offensive. And no newlywed that's enjoying, like, their first year of marriage wants to freaking hear it every day.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people you have to be sensitive to because you have no idea, like, who's going through a struggle. So please just off the bat, like, do not ask people, like, when's your next? Or when are you having kids? Just let people live their life.
Yes.
What did you want to ask? Like, sorry. Sorry, I just had to get it off my chest. It really bothers me.
Well, so I know kids is something that I definitely want. Mm-hmm. Like my husband and I talk about it. But, you know, I feel like when you're in your 20s and you have a baby, it's something that you don't even think about. You just do. It's the next step of your life.
Yeah.
But I'm older and...
You say that like you're old. You're not old. You're in your 30s. Like
it's weird because I look around and I look at this life we've built in our home and... I'm like, wow, like some kid's going to come in here and like fuck it up. And like, what if he's an asshole? Like I have so many.
Yeah.
It's harder now, I guess, that I'm older because I'm overthinking everything. Am I ready? Like, you know, and my mom gives me good advice because she says you're never ready.
No, you're not.
Is that true?
No, that 100% your mom is. First of all, moms are always right. Your mom is 100% right. You are never ready. And as much as anyone can ever prep you for it, like kids are emotional terrorists and they are going to fuck up your whole world. And I promise you that, like, what this house looks like right now, more than likely it won't. It's going to be still be perfect because he will or he, she will be living here. But, like, it's a different kind of perfect. Like, when they wake up and they run from their bed to your bed, that's the most satisfying thing you'll ever feel in your life. And it's just...
Crying.
No, I feel like if you can experience it, it's something to experience. Whether it's your child, whether you adopt a child, whether anything, it's almost like you have, there comes a point in your life where you're either like, I'm going to be selfish or I'm not going to be selfish. And
I'm not ready to part with yet. I know I'm a selfish person. Like
you're not selfish. You're just used to routine of what you guys do. And it's totally breaking of routine. It's going to be like the most mind fucked thing you'll ever do, but it's so rewarding. And if you can do it, and I think it's worth doing, like even being an aunt to kids, like just to have them come into your life, it changes your whole world. Like you no longer care about your Saturday nights because you're like, I'd rather spend it with like my niece or nephew. Or
their
kids really just shake up your whole world. And I don't think it's a necessary step. There's a lot of people who just are not supposed to be parents for sure. And I also think like you could be a father, but you're not a dad. Okay.
Right.
You could be a mother, but you're not a mom. Like there's people who are like, that's like mommy. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're not everybody is meant to be a parent.
So you were really young. How old were you when you had your first baby?
Corey wanted to have them like when we met.
Yeah.
And I said no. I was like, we're getting married first and that whole thing. But he was 21 when we met. I was 23 because I'm 2 or 3 years
like
older.
Didn't you guys like not really think about it? Like you just kind of did it.
Well, we got engaged because it was a huge thing. I was like, well, first of all, where's my ring before I let you inseminate me with anything? Like I'm getting a ring because it's important to me. It's not important and it's not the necessary steps. It's just something that worked for me and what I was bred to believe. So I wanted that, and he was all about it too. He wanted to get married, and I said, listen, we can totally like have this life and I'm down to have kids early. And if you want them right away, we'll do that. But we need to like establish me and you first and worry about us. Cause I feel like once kids come in, there's no you guys for a long time.
Which, by the way, I think is another like great point because I have some friends that, you know, they were married for a few weeks, a few months, and they right away have kids. And I'm like, don't you guys want to enjoy each other just a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, you know, make sure you know this person and you love this person and you can enjoy just being the two of you.
No, for sure.
I know that at this point that like we're good. That's what I'm afraid of, is like some other person coming in and breaking us up. But I guess like
that's a thing. Yeah. First of all, there's moms that are like jealous of their kids because of how good their husbands are to their kids. Like, right. That's a thing. I've heard of it before. I don't experience it, but like I've really heard people be like, why are you so good to her? Like, why do you let everything she does slide? Like, and it's like very weird because it fucks with your emotions when you add somebody else into like your relationship, whether it be a kid or whatever it is. And it's hard.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there an order? Like, is it your husband first and then your kids?
No.
Or your kids first?
No, my kids are always first and then my husband. And he knows that. And I expect him to put my kids before me too.
Wow.
I just expect to be next on that list.
Like, so, that's the shit I have to like. Once there's a child actually here, I'll kids, feel that way. It's just hard to like, it's hard to grasp that concept right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, kids, it's, I don't know. It's like, okay, there's a functioning human being, an adult in your house right now. Okay, so when you have kids come in,
barely,
they are not functioning by themselves. They are completely reliant on you for everything. So if you're not putting those kids first, then that's a problem. Because
that's what freaks me out.
Their survival.
Like, yeah, like, oh my God, if I don't feed the baby, it dies. Like, no, that's such true. Heavy responsibility.
It's legit. But like, while you're eating cheese and wine, like, give them their cereal or whatever they like. Like, it's so, it just becomes a part of life. And like, you just learn to coexist. And it's totally, I was not prepared for it. I mean, my mom told me, she was like, having kids is really hard. Like, I just want you to be aware. And like, but she was so excited that she was going to be a grandma that like, she totally was like, have more. I love it. But like, I said, I was like, I wish there was like a manual that came with each kid of like how to deal with that individual child, because every single kid is different.
But I don't. And okay, I've so let me that. Ask you this. So, okay, you got married, you had a baby, like you're in the hospital with Skylar. Like, did you? Because this is just my personality. Like, I feel like I need to do research.
Okay, so
like, did you read books? Did you talk to other? You were so young. You were the first friend to have a baby.
I was 26 when I.
So
had
how
Skylar.
The fuck when they say, okay, bye, we're discharging from the hospital 24 hours later? First, what do you do with this thing,
Jess? I say this all the time. I'm like, first of all, how do just hospitals let people take kids?
Yeah.
Like, how there's no like psych test that they give you. There's nothing. They're just like, hi, okay, here, make sure you have a car seat. They don't even check if you have a car seat. They just like give you the baby, and I'm like, this is terrible. I had like an insane midwife crisis like after I had Skylar. Like, I was like, I have to be up all night, and like I just pushed a human out of me, and now I have to be up all night. Thank God her godmother Tara, my brother, my husband's sister, wanted to have that experience with her godchild and like be at the hospital with me to help me and let me sleep, because I also had a very rough pregnancy with Skylar, so I was not really ready to like jump into all that. I was having, it wasn't like a postpartum depression. It was just like a holy fucking shit.
Rewind
what
for a second.
Just happened.
So this is the stuff that scares me. So what do you mean rough pregnancy?
Okay, rough pregnancy. I had carpal tunnel. I had arthritis. I had hypoglycemia.
What?
I passed out one day going to pick my niece up at school. She, to this day, she's 9 years old. I had Skylar 3.5 years ago.
Life?
She will not let me pick her up from school because she's so terrified that I'm going to pass out again at school. I had to go to the hospital. It was like this whole big thing. Shit happens when you're pregnant. Like, your body, especially your first, like, this is your body reacting to the first time it's ever changing in your life after, like, puberty.
I literally cannot grasp this concept. It is so hard for me to, like, imagine.
It's very
this.
Weird.
It literally is like an alien is taking over your body. Like,
it
you've
does.
Been, like, an alien came from space and, like, impregnated you, and now you've got this, like, weird alien baby that you need to, like, do stuff with, and the whole process, like, I can't get it out of my head. It, like, and the actual, like, labor, no.
I had
there's
great
nothing
labors.
Natural about that. It's something that's supposed to be so fucking natural. There's nothing natural about a baby coming out of your vagina. Like, there's just not. Or your stomach. No.
No.
There's got to be an easier way.
No. The easier way is being rich and have somebody else carrying your baby. That's the easiest way you can do it. Like, Kim Kardashian just, I think she just was like, fuck this. Like, I don't think I could go. It's an emotional roller coaster from the moment you find out until the moment that baby's put in your arms. It is a nonstop roller coaster. And sometimes it's like too much for a person to handle, especially after they've had some or in their first.
Like, were you like super emotional? Like, did you?
With Skylar, I cried a lot, but I was also like, I could not believe like I was responsible for another human being.
Yeah.
With Julian, he was my first boy. I couldn't believe it was happening. With Jaden, I had a really rough pregnancy. No, I lied. A really rough labor. My pregnancy was great with her. My labor was really hard. The epidural failed.
No, I didn't even know those two words went together.
Yeah, no, it was hard.
An epidural can fail.
Yeah, it just didn't work. And I felt everything. And like, it was just a hard.
What do you mean? What did it feel like?
I'm not going to scar the men on this channel. If there's any listening, I don't want to ruin.
Lower the volume.
Yeah, just turn this off. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that to them. I don't want to like scar moms because it is the greatest thing you'll ever.
Scar me.
I want you to have babies.
I'm already scarred.
No.
What did it feel like, Tracy?
It's the weirdest experience because you can feel the baby coming out, but there's no pain. It's like no pain at that point. For me. I don't want to speak on behalf of all women.
Can you tell me what an epidural failed means?
An epidural is this giant fucking needle they give you in your back, spine. Right? And like it could either be the greatest fucking thing put on this earth or it could be traumatizing.
Can you ask for another one?
Yeah, it's like a drip.
Okay.
It's like a morphine drip. Like you're linked up. So they just add more. Cool. Once you get it, you're done. You're like taped up, bandaged, you're fine.
Could you feel your legs?
No, I felt nothing to the point where Jaden was handed to me and I almost rolled off the bed because I couldn't hold my own body up. And the epidural worked everywhere but where it needed to. So I couldn't lift up my arms. I couldn't lift anything. Like I was holding her and I felt myself rolling. I'm like, somebody grab the baby. It was traumatizing.
How long does the effects last for? Because that kind of freaks me out.
I think it's like a few hours.
Like that's why I don't do like mushrooms and drugs because I don't like it not having control of my body.
I'm the last person on this world should ever do drugs because I would have the worst. I would be in a corner somewhere thinking spiders and rats were crawling all over me. I can't handle. I'm such a control freak. Everybody who knows me knows that. And it's just, it's the most not in control you will ever be in your life.
All right, I'm gonna get real here because this is another one of my labor fear. Like, so I hate potty talk. Like, as far as my husband knows, and he will fucking tell you this, mm-mm. He doesn't think I go to the bathroom. Like, he doesn't know. He's never seen, heard anything. Like, he just thinks that that doesn't exist. That part of me. So, like,
my advice.
One of
you.
My fears because mm-hmm. I've heard this. Like, I have friends that are just like disgusting animals, and they're just like, oh yeah, I was shit 5 times in front of my husband while I was given labor and he was had my legs spread and was watching. And I'm like, I rather die. Kill me. Like, fucking bury me. Like, don't even, like, I can't handle that.
Okay, my advice to you.
Go.
Your husband stands by your shoulders and massages your shoulders and holds your shoulders and can see on the horizon what is happening, but is not in the shit.
So okay? he didn't see the other view of you.
No,
like,
and they
like
asked
spread.
Me, do you want a mirror? No, and if a you mirror. Ever fucking ask me if I want a mirror again, I'm leaving this hospital and going somewhere else. Don't ever ask. My husband is to not see a thing. I am to not see a thing. I don't want to know. I never even watched the labor and delivery and health class because I was like, I'd rather be in the blind knowing of everything and just let it happen.
By the way, a mirror, I might pass out from a mirror, like seeing like a head come out of your body, by the way, is not normal. So like but you know what, I have some friends that are just like, they give birth and they're just like, it doesn't faze them, like none of this fazes
them. I just think it's not for husbands. I think that is something, that spot on you is something that's like for you and him, and it should not be damaged from him watching it be expanded into the size of a fucking head. Okay, human head, and then bleeding and possibly shitting. Like, I don't think it is the right place for a man.
Yeah,
men cannot handle it. He stood by my shoulders, all three babies, held my hand.
Did you poop?
No, I think for the first one, the baby did. Because he told me, he's like, oh, the baby went poopy. And I was like, I'm going to ask you to refrain from telling me any information.
Oh my God,
okay?
The baby poops in you? What does that even mean?
This is all shit that goes on. Like, shit happens. Literally shit happens.
Wait, what? How do you get it out?
Everything comes out. Like, you're cleared the fuck out, okay? It's all good. That's why the men should stand by your shoulder. Literally, men should have your back in this, okay?
Okay, I like that phrase.
Okay, men have your back. Your husband has your back. Your man, your boyfriend, your baby daddy. I don't care what it is. Keep him by your fucking shoulders. And if he wants to cut the cord, just have someone guide your hand. Like, I don't think he should be seeing it. That's my personal opinion. Corey did not cut the cord on any of my kids. My mom delivered Julian. She cut the cord. The whole time Corey's like, you're doing a great job, but I don't want to fucking know what happens.
So your cord is, I know
is
it's
the way
the alien
feed.
Thing. That, oh, okay. I was just going to say it's the thing that connects you to the baby. So
yeah, but that's
like,
so
loose.
Like, no, it's so, not so it doesn't, it's not going to fall out of you, Jessica. It's so that everything you eat, the baby can eat because they're not eating food.
Oh my God. My mind is so blown. I did not know this.
I feel like maybe you should take a class before you get your freaking out.
I was just going to say, like, so I just read literally Hillary Duff.
Okay.
Is that the thing she ate? Is it edible?
Oh, it's a placenta? It's I mean, it's edible. Yes, it's all your nutrients in your body that is for the baby. Did you eat yours? Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? I don't even eat cheese that says expired in 2 days. Like, I don't even...
I also read, like, I don't know which celebrity it was, but, like, one of them, like, put it in a blender and had, like, a smoothie. Like,
I mean, it's all things. It's the best thing you could do for yourself. Put it in pills. It's a lot of money to put it in pills, but it's getting all the nutrients that just left your body back in your body. It's, like, what makes you feel like a human again. I did not do it because I'm not okay with eating something that just fucking came out of my body. Mm-mm. But there are women that do it, and that some many are, like, holistic and all of that, and it's great for all of them, and I give you a lot of fucking support for eating something you just fucking pushed out of your vagina, but not my fucking thing. And I'm not about it. I don't support it, but, like, I don't think I'd suggest it to anybody, because unless you're taking it in pill form, which is, I think, expensive, mm-hmm. I don't think it's, like, ever gonna happen for me. And I would be mind over matter that whole time taking that pill anyway. So I don't know. It blew my mind. I honestly was like, body, get your shit together, wrap it up. Let's do this and, like, be an adult and put your big girl panties on and let's be, like, a mom. And I didn't eat the placenta. I didn't do any of that. Like, I just had the baby, took her home, and, like, worshipped her.
This is really good shit, because I kind of had this, like, my husband's a police officer, so I was going to bring his handcuffs and, like, handcuff him to the bed so we couldn't, like, even try to peek at anything.
No, I don't think that was my game plan.
Well, I have friends that have had C-sections, and, like, mm-hmm. literally the doctor is like, don't look, because you will pass out. Your organs
are on the table.
Yes. So many husbands pass out that they literally have to tell them, like, if you look and pass out, like, we can't focus on you.
No. That's why a lot of times in a C-section, like, they'll have, like, a chair or a, like, mini bed or something. So, like, if the husband happens to look and they pass out, like, they could take their time and, like, recover. But, like, it is not about you. It is about this baby.
I don't know what's fucking worse, really. Like, out of your vagina or, like, out of your stomach. Like, they're both so terrifying to me.
Honestly, the process is a lot. It's so scary
to me. Yeah, the whole process is. And again, I think if I was, like, 20 years old, I'd be just like, oh, this is what you do. This is what my mom did. This is what my grandma did. I'm overthinking every step of the process. What you now.
Do. This is what Jessica what does. She overthinks everything. She, like, makes something that's not a big deal into a big deal. So I just...
I'm with Tracy's kids, and every time I leave them, I want one. Like,
well, that's
'cause they're so cute, and they're so sweet, and they're just, like, kind, gentle, little... Like, when I pulled up to Tracy's house, and they're in the window waiting for me to get there, like, I literally have to hold back tears. It is the cutest thing ever.
They get so excited.
And I leave there, and I'm like, I come home, and I go to my husband, I'm like, I'm ready. And he's like, are you really ready? I'm like, no.
No. Let's go watch our shows for 4 hours yeah. and oversleep till 1 o'clock.
Exactly. Oh my God. Sometimes I'll text Tracy on, like, a Saturday morning and be like, sorry, I was sleeping. And she's like, you were what? What is that now?
What is that? I've been up for 7 hours. Why are you still sleeping?
Oh my God. What time do they wake up in the morning?
My kids are on very strict schedules at home. Mm-hmm. And people don't really think I'm a strict mom because I, like, curse in front of them and, like, let them, like, wear belly tops once in a while and, like, play with makeup. So they're like, oh my God, what a shitty mom. My kids are on the strictest schedule. Like, 7 o'clock goes off. You have 10 minutes left of your show. We go upstairs and it's bedtime. Like,
wow.
That's it. You eat your dinner and it's bed. Like, there's not an argument. Like, I'm not ready for bed. I don't really care. At my mom's house, I mean, whatever they'll eat, pretty much. It's a struggle for Skylar. She eats, like, only fruits and vegetables, which I'm like, okay, if you're a vegetarian, whatever. But I try to get her, like, pizza's big, pastas, we're Italian, we only eat pasta. Like,
it's a struggle for me to feed my husband and myself every day. Like, that's another thing. Like,
but, like, the first couple of years, you're just trying to get your kids to eat healthy and, like, yeah. just eat anything, pretty much. Like, pizza, pasta, and, like, chicken is a huge staple in our house. Like, it's pretty much all the time. My kids love rice, and they love corn, and they, like, my kids devour broccoli.
You don't really – are they picky eaters? I've never seen them
be. Jaden will eat anything. Skylar is very picky. She's big on soup. Her big thing is gum soup, which is New England clam chowder.
That's so cute.
Did you hear what I said? New England clam chowder.
No.
Okay, why does my 3-year-old love that? But she thinks the little pieces of clams are gum. So that she could chew them and eat them. So she calls it gum soup. And everywhere we go, she's like, do they have gum soup? But she's big on, like, chicken noodles. She loves that. She loves the broth. Like, Jaden will pretty much eat, like, anything. She will devour an entire slice of pizza in front of you. And then they always want ice cream. Julian's just starting to eat food now.
You didn't breastfeed, right?
I didn't, because with Skylar, my recovery was hard. Like, I had a 3-week recovery time with her because I had an episiotomy.
Don't know which is
something that you should never Google. And I don't suggest any men who thought I was hot before this to Google it, because you'll never look at me the same. But no, like, Corey was like, your recovery was rough. Like,
wait, I think I remember seeing a picture of this. Were there stitches involved?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, it's... a normal thing is like, it just, it was a really rough recovery and I didn't have, I couldn't even pick her up and hold her because I was in so much pain. Yeah. So I didn't breastfeed with her. And then with Jaden, I was like, I have a 1.5-year-old home. Like, how am I making time to breastfeed her? Like, I would have loved to, if I had like a nanny helping me, I would have easily breastfed because I would have had somebody on call 24/7 helping me. And it wasn't about that, but I also felt like there's either a connection or not. Mm-hmm. And like, I really didn't feel like, oh my God, this is like such an amazing, like I felt holding her like against me was like more of a connection than like having her breastfeed. And like just the connection of you feeding your child. And I always like, there's breastfeed shamers who are like, just feed them the bottle because then you know how much they're getting. And then there's formula shamers who are like, breast is best. And then I'm just like, no, fed
breast
is best.
Breast is best.
Oh no, they're hardcore. Oh God,
I'm going to hang myself.
No, they're hardcore on that. And I get it. Like if you are about that, like that's your way and I support it. But like,
can
I'm
just
like,
say something?
My child is fed.
I'm not a mom, but like who gives a fuck what other moms
mom
are doing?
Shaming. It's huge.
Stop it with the mom shaming. Like how do you... Especially as a mom, you should know the struggle of being a mom and that it's not easy. And you should never judge another mom. It's horrible. I see it all the time. Like, I don't even understand the positives, the negatives, the breastfeeding, I'm not breastfeeding. But I see women bash each other all the time for it. And I'm so over it.
No, it's disgusting. It's because people are doing their best. Like, there's...
Yeah.
There's... Every child is different. And, like, every growing up way of... like how they live is different. And like, you just can't judge a mom based on that. Like even moms who like lose their shit and scream at their kids in the grocery store. Like, you know what they probably went through? Screaming kids on the way here, screaming kids on the way home, and screaming kids until their husband comes home later. So just give them a fucking break and help them out and be like, can I help you with something? Is there anything I can help you with? Like,
yeah,
just jump in and offer a hand. And like a mother is so appreciative of that.
I was like, going to say that little, it sounds just, like such a little gesture it and it's is. Huge.
Instead of like looking at me with a side eye and being like, why is she yelling at her child? What a horrible mom. Be
can
like,
I say a
I
great
wonder-
example of this? So Tracy and I were at the diner after our photo shoot, actually, and Julian was with us, not the girls, just Jules, and he was in his, what do you call those things, the carry things?
Car seat.
A car seat.
The car seat carrier.
He was in his mobile car seat, and, you know, Tracy, we're trying to get through the diner. All the tables are, like, smushed together, yeah. Banging into other people and under other chairs, and we tried to put him in a booth. He didn't fit in the booth, so, like, inevitably, there was nowhere else to put him on the floor. And some, literally, a guy that was, like, dining came over and was like, oh, let me help you. And he took a table,
and
separated
it.
He made our table, like, a table for 12.
Yeah, and he was like, I was like, is this okay? And he was like, do whatever you have to do. You're a mom, I get it.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, like, that just made me feel so much better. Like, I was struggling getting, first of all, I'm a mom carrying a baby. You need to put me in the very back of the restaurant. Whatever, I'm not even going to go there. But so this man saw us struggling and was like, let me just help you. And, like, the littlest thing, just putting the table together with our table.
Oh, I literally have chills thinking about it right now. It was such a nice moment. And like, because I was following Tracy and I'm like, oh God, we're the baby's like knocking into everything.
Yeah,
like plates are falling on the floor. Like, and this is one child, how, you know, how difficult it is to get in and out, to get situated.
And that's
a
baby.
Total stranger, you know, a grown up guy came over and helped us out. And it was awesome.
Yeah, it was really nice. It's just like little moments like that,
yeah,
that you can just help a mom like going through something just really just brightens her day and be like, wow, there's like humans out there who get it and like, yeah, that it's hard. Don't worry, it's gonna work. Everything is gonna like totally work out. And like, all moms that are scared, like, don't be scared. It's such a gift. And like, the when those little kids look up at you and they're like, I love you, mommy, nothing else. First of all, the second you give birth to this baby, you're gonna remember nothing of the pain. I have to literally remember telling the story to remember the level of pain that I was in.
Wow. I actually remember your pain now that you're bringing it up.
Yeah.
I know, you're right. You're so right.
It goes away because nothing else matters. All of a sudden, like, you don't matter. Like, no, you shower last, you eat last, you bathe last, you take care of yourself. Like, I have 3 nails missing right now. And you know what? I'm still not even thinking, like, when is my next nail appointment? I'm thinking, like, I have to remember to get formula and milk at the store after later for the kids. Like, that's what I think about. And you just literally become last.
You're a good mommy.
It's just moms in general. It's not
and
me.
And you're a good wife. Like, you're not just a good mom, you're a good wife. And actually, that's a great segue into some of the questions we got.
Oh, we got questions
from fans of the podcast.
Yay.
Because listen, I think one of the questions I keep seeing over and over and over, because people want to know, how do you have 3 kids and a life, and especially with your husband, a sex life? So Dre asked the first question is, does sex slow down after having multiple kids?
I mean, I don't think it should. I think that's one of the main reasons that couples like grow apart is because sex stops. And I know it's not like the most important thing, but it's super important because that's like your one connection with them.
So even though you've got dance class and school and, you know, you're bringing, dropping off one kid, picking up another, you should find time.
I mean, there's times where, like, he'll text me and he'll be like, hurry home. And I'm just like, I have three kids with me. Like, there's nothing I could do right now. And, like, later, I just know, like, when the kids are asleep, it's, like, our time. And, like, we're able to, like, relax, watch our shows, hang out. Like, if you can, like, go have sex with your husband. Like, stop depriving your husband of things that, like, are supposed to be natural.
Yes.
I mean, like, stop. Yes. And stop embarrassing your husband in front of, like, friends. I just feel like there's major things that men just can't, are like not never gonna get, like, from a wife. It's just very weird to me how people put, like, restraints on their men.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get it, have respect, but at the same time, like, sex is a major part of marriage. It's, and when it stops, there's other things that stop.
Well, it I'm a firm believer in this too. Like, I mean, it's your bond. It shows, like, physical intimacy cannot be replaced by words or
no.
You just, it's something that if you haven't made time for, make time for it. And you feel good afterwards. I mean, not just from the obvious, but, like, yeah, you feel, no, but like, you're like warm and like yeah, like, yeah. You don't realize what you're missing until you really do it. I mean, sometimes, like, I'm having sex and I'm like, why don't we do this more? You know, like, you're like, oh, wow, yeah, it's so great.
Like, it's just such a release. It's like, yes, the most freeing experience is just, like, the out of body experience of, yes, just being with him. But, like, I just feel like it's a necessity.
So you guys make time at the end of the day. That's your routine. Like, once the kids are in bed, you make sure to have mommy daddy time.
Yeah. I mean, it's never scheduled, because once you start scheduling it, it's like this doesn't the become hot part, yeah, of it is, like, gone. But once those kids are down, like, if he puts the girls to bed and I put Jules to bed, like, and then we're coming together, like, in the living room, like, just, like, take me. You know what I mean? Like, whoa, just, yeah, like, it's our time to, like, spend together. So however we want to spend it, watching a movie, hanging out, cuddling, whatever it may be, like, of your guys, what works together for you, mm-hmm, I think is just, like, how it should be. And it should be spontaneous. And the second you start scheduling it, even though a therapist will tell you to schedule it, because I've heard a lot of people be like, oh, my therapist told me, like, we should schedule sex. Do not fucking schedule sex.
Listen,
I'm
to
sorry,
the bad example. She
I'm
knows.
I'm so sorry. But, like, once you start being like, okay, 7 o'clock, get your pants off. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, don't do that. Like,
all right. So, Caitlin 717 asks, how do you keep the spark alive?
I just feel like you can't let yourself go. I mean, you know, you're a wife. Just because I have kids, like, you guys are still husband and wife. Like, how do you keep the spark alive? I just feel like when you still get dressed up for your man.
It's so true.
Like,
it's so true.
Get your hair done. Get your fucking roots done. Do your nails. Once in a while, throw on a lipstick. Like, just take, like, the minimum amount of time, and he'll be like, make him put on a wig if you need to. He'll come home to a different woman every night. He'll never know who he's coming home to. It'll be exciting. Like, just don't lose the spark of, like, that connection. Make him want you. Yes. If he likes dark hair on you, don't be like, well, I have to be dark because that's the only thing my husband likes. Be like, I want to be dark because that's what turns my husband on. Like, do stuff that, like, you know, is, and as he should be doing too. If he knows, absolutely, that you like him with long hair or short hair.
Or a beard.
A beard. Wow. A lot of girls love a beard. Like, grow out your fucking beard. Let her live. Like, let her have her, like, fantasy of another guy within you.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that's, like, the beauty of, like, hair and makeup. And we can be whoever we want to be with that. So, like, let it be, like, some intense, like, fantasy you guys live out within each other.
I think getting comfortable in a marriage or in any relationship is the most dangerous thing you can do. Letting yourself go. And
I think putting on weight is normal because you guys get comfortable and you guys eat, like, fun.
The guy sometimes
together.
Puts on, I mean, Denny put on weight too when we first started dating. Like, all we did was go out to eat and enjoy life.
But I think the physical of just like people, I see moms that are like, oh my God, how do you have time to put on makeup? I don't even have time to brush my hair. I want to be like, how the fuck is that possible? It takes 30 seconds to brush your hair.
Yeah.
Brush your hair, put it in a tight bun, throw a little mascara on, and look, all of a sudden you're a new woman. Don't you feel better about yourself when you leave the house and you look presentable rather than going out in sweatpants? My kids know. There's jammies, and then there's clothes that you go out in. And they know without me asking. Like, they'll never, ever, ever, ever ask me, can I go out in this? Because I'll be like, are you insane? We don't leave the house without being put together, because when you put yourself together, it makes you look like you care about where you're going.
Absolutely.
Or care about the person you're meeting up with, or like, you put effort into being alive. You only have a few short amount of years here, okay? Use that being the best version of yourself. Put makeup on if you want. If you don't like makeup,
it's
don't. But do your hair.
Yourself.
Don't
you
be dirty.
That.
Like, yeah.
Don't be dirty.
Like, take care of yourself.
Yeah. I had a friend in college that didn't, Tracy, for me and you, because this is our like kind of our industry. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it just is like what we do. But there's so many women out there that don't realize the power of a pedicure. You know?
My God.
I mean, yeah. They don't understand that like you don't need a full face of makeup. You don't have to be watching YouTube tutorials.
Nope.
Like
no.
Put a little blush on.
Anything.
And when you feel better about yourself, your relationships will improve because of it. You know what I mean? Like your confidence, everything. It's like a chain reaction.
Absolutely.
And I think if you're a new mom, and I'm not a new mom. I know it's hard. I know finding time is hard, but it's so important that you do it. And lean on your friends and family to help you out for this. Like, you know, it's 45 minutes. Someone could take your kid and you can get a manicure. I mean, that little thing can be game changing.
And this is not to please your man. This is to make more confident about yourself, to feel more confident in your relationship, which then in turn is a result of him wanting you more because of the confidence level. Yeah. This is not like, let me get my makeup on for my man. First of all, I put makeup on so I could walk past like a store window and be like, damn, look how good her makeup looks. And it's me. Like, you know, I don't put it on for Corey. He would rather me barefaced. That's not the point. Yeah. It's just he sees the effort that I put into going out of the house and looking.
That's another thing. Because as a makeup artist, I do so many brides. And if one more bride-to-be says to me, oh, my husband likes me with little makeup. How do you like you?
Yeah, it doesn't matter how they like you. It matters what you think of yourself.
Are you kidding me? Like, first of all, men like makeup. When you ask them who's hot, guess who they say? They say women that have got 10 pounds of makeup on and hair is bleach blonde.
It's natural. It's natural that they think that way.
Like, they're just dumb. They don't understand what makeup is or what makeup looks like. Like, they've got no clue. So do what makes you happy. Do what makes you feel pretty. I mean, your husband's opinion is important, but at the end of the day, like, don't get married with no makeup on because your husband doesn't think it's important. Please. Sorry. That's a side note. I hear that so much more than you would think.
No, I get it.
I'm like, you're getting married in this $1,000 wedding gown. Your hair is in this like crazy beautiful updo and it looks like you rolled out of bed with your face. Like, put on a little mascara, a little blush, and you're done. Like,
it's just your day. It's your day to feel like the most attractive person you could be to him, and like him to be wowed by what you look like, not to see the same.
No one's saying you got to put on a hot red lipstick. Like,
no, be you. But be just you. Like, but I think guys and girls need to just, like, they just need to know what turns each other on and, like, once in a while do that.
Yes.
Like, know your husband's, like, fantasies and, like, play those out once in a while. I think that's major.
So.
And wives, too.
I'm going to our next question. I'm laughing because the next question, I didn't finish the question. I wrote, anonymous asks, what do you do when you're... And then I didn't finish the end of, I didn't copy the rest of what they asked. So it's okay. We're going to the next one. Okay. So the next one I have here is, how do we celebrate our 1-year anniversary? I think that's a really interesting question.
What do you think? You're like either upon that or had just passed.
Well, I love planning. I'm a big planner.
Mm-hmm, same.
And your 1-year anniversary is so, 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 so important. I mean, right? It's like a tradition to keep the cake and whip it out a year later.
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that?
No.
It's still in my freezer.
I skeeve food that's past expiration.
Yeah, I'm not eating it, but now I feel bad throwing it away. So just taking up space in my freezer. But, you know, your 1-year anniversary, like, it's supposed to be a really big deal. So treat yourself. I mean, do something fun. Get a hotel room. Like,
I think that's the best idea ever.
Who cares if it's like the Holiday Inn? Like, just escape for the night. Like, get a change of scenery.
I think to not be in the same house that you always, I mean, sex is like, it's happening on your 1-year, right? It's sure happening. Okay. Yeah. So to not have sex in the same bed that you always have sex in, to just have something different and like take her out and whip, like sweep her off her feet and bring her to a hotel and go get like drinks down like at the bar at the hotel.
I love
like
that.
Something cute.
Go
just, like,
get drinks
have
with
a
your
date.
Husband.
Like,
a date, yes.
Not like a sit down expensive dinner. It doesn't need to be that. Like, grab a $10 glass of wine and like just bullshit with each other. And like flirt with each other and then go up to the hotel room and just have fun. It's your 1 year of being married. Like, I think people overthink it where they're like, oh my God, I need my husband to surprise me with this gift and that gift and take me away. And just go have fun. Like, go flirt with your man. Like,
yes.
I don't get why it always has to be like this big elaborate thing when it's so simple.
It's so simple.
Yeah. I don't know. It's something that blows my mind every time.
You fall into a routine easily, you know, even without
mix
kids.
It up.
Yeah, mix it up for that 1-year anniversary and do something
special.
And
I think not just for the 1 year, but like every once in a while. Just like do something he doesn't expect. Do something she doesn't expect. Bring her home like her favorite ice cream and like sit in front of like the TV and just watch a movie you guys love together, like binging on ice cream and vegging out and just like laying together. Like, do something that's not routine every night.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be flowers. It doesn't need to be chocolate. It could be like her favorite fucking pretzel. Like, who cares from the mall? Like, just bring her something or bring him something, something that they, you guys love about just being different.
Yeah, I love it.
Hey, all you true crime fans. This is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morph.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
All right, next question. Mm-hmm. Oh, this one makes me crazy. Okay, Lola asks, is it okay to go to the bar without your husband?
Is that a real question?
I know.
I don't really know how, like, I don't want to hurt anyone's feeling.
Be honest, because I think that's a crazy question to ask.
If you're not allowed to go to the bar with your friends, then borderline you're in an abusive relationship.
Yeah,
you should not be scared to have girlfriends and have girl time. And if it's getting one drink at a bar with your friends and he says no, I think it's serious time to re-go through priorities in your life. And he should be going to the bar with his friends once in a while, too. It's super healthy not to be together all the time.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I once every 2 months go out with my friends, and it's like you're just rejuvenated. You're like, wow, I forgot, like, how much fun being around my friends was.
And you miss each – you give your time to miss your spouse.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think that's a huge thing. Like, the absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I just think that you need to be away from them for a little so they appreciate, like, what they have when they come home.
Yes.
And like, so what if you come home drunk from the bar? Guess what? Guess who's getting drunk from the bar action? And by the way,
your husband should trust you to go out with your friends. And if he doesn't, then you need to look deeper into your issues.
Yeah, I think
there's a bigger problem there.
Also, I'm gonna touch on this. I think
same with
the emasculating.
Yes, same with women and a man. Yes,
is probably the most disgusting thing as a woman that you could do. It's using your power in an abusive way. Like, what bothers me the most is, like, a bachelorette party, and it's like, oh, you're not going to the strip club with your friends. I'm sorry. So, wait, you're going to have all his friends go out, and then
they go
tell
home?
Him that he needs to come home before they all celebrate his last big night? Like, is that how insecure you are that you are going to make him feel less of a man to be like, I have to get home because my wife says so? Like, it's just so embarrassing. I'm mortified for women who do that to their men.
So, you know, the same as, like, we're telling you, if you're a woman and you go to the bar without your husband, it's fine. If a man goes out without you, calm down.
Yes, he's not trying to get every single number. He's trying to get a beer with his boys.
Yes. You know what? And this is why trust is so important in a relationship, because if you do not trust your husband, you'll never be okay with that. But guess what? You should trust your husband. That's why you married him, right? Like, you made a commitment for life. Like, this is supposed to be your thing.
I think that that's, like, so big. I think that that's a huge thing that divides people up, is when the husband is, like, nervous to ask, like, can I go out? Or the girl is like, can I go out with my friends? I don't know if he'll say yes. I think that's a super big red flag. If you guys don't respect each other, it's the end. It's coming to an end. So just, you go out with your friends, he'll go out with his friends. Just don't be a hover spouse.
Oh my God. And don't be a hover mom. That's a term, right?
Yeah. Hover moms, helicopter moms. It's like the ones who, like, okay, so the kids are at the park and, like, they come off the slide and the mom is instantly running to them with baby wipes. Like, let me clean your hands. Like, first of all, kids build up germs to learn how their body to fight them off. Like, I get it, clean your hands after you leave the park, but, like, after every slide ride, I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, let me just tell you, because I observe Tracy again, I'm like obsessive with her parenting skills, because her kids rock. They're, like, smart. They're so smart for their age. Jada, you know, how old is she?
Two.
She talks more than, like, any 2-year-old, and she knows, like, really big words. And it's because Tracy talks to her like she's an adult. She doesn't talk to her like a baby.
No, I don't baby them.
When Jada comes up to Tracy and goes, I have to go to the bathroom, Tracy goes, okay, you know where the bathroom is? You know where the toilet is? And, like, I always laugh. And, like, Jada, like, looks at her. She processes it, and then she goes, okay.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and she went. Sometimes she'll go, you know, Lala, come with me, and they'll go to
that's
the bathroom
what she
together.
Calls Skylar. So for people who don't know, Jada calls Skylar Lala, because in Staten Island we say Skyla, so it's Lala. Well, her aunt came up with that. But anyway, it's...
So it's like, I'm like blown away by that because with three kids, it's hard. But you know that sometimes those parents with one kid, they become like obsessive.
And the kid never learns how to do anything on their
own. Yes. And that's the thing. Like the kid gets... the child gets like developmentally slow because you're holding them back. Like, and I've witnessed Tracy in action. Like, these kids can fend for themselves.
Yeah. Like, when I change like Julian's diaper or something, I'll be like, who's bringing the diaper to the garbage? And the girls will volunteer to pick up a shit diaper from their brother and walk it over to the garbage. And sometimes when they're done with like a banana peel, they'll be like, okay, and hand it to me. And I'm like, no, you know where the garbage is. You have legs. Why did God give you legs if you're not going to use them? Go walk over to the garbage and throw it out. And they do. And because of that, I feel like they act older than they are because they're given more responsibility than normal
and
kids.
Like Julian as a baby is the man. Like, I was like, wow, I want a baby like this and I'll do it right now. Like, he's so cool. Like, the second Tracy walks away, he doesn't burst into tears because Tracy doesn't like... She's just she's the cool mom.
Shut up. You're doing great, honey.
She's just incredible. I mean, these kids are just... They're self-sufficient. Even at 6 months old, like, he knows, like, not to fuck with Tracy. And, like,
yeah, like
he's
just
better because of it. He's so happy. He's chill. He's not... Listen, I'm going to use this as an example of my dog, Beetlejuice, because, you know, when you over... You know how people, when they leave and their dogs, like, panic?
Mm-hmm.
And their dogs cry by the front door or they, like, howl mm-hmm. or they, like, destroy shit? It's because there's separation anxiety. And I just feel like that's bad parenting because you shouldn't make your kids feel like that.
No, they need to not be like, adults.
Okay, so you know, like you know,
to...
parents that like their kids, if the mom isn't holding the baby, like even if the dad goes to hold it, the baby cries.
I know a family, yes, that's super like that.
Like that can't be healthy.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like people need to give their kids more space to just like try things and learn things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is it hurting if a baby picks up a butter knife at a restaurant? Have you ever put a butter knife on your skin? I have cut things more with my pinky toe, like uncut pinky toe, than I have with a butter knife ever. Like, just teach them. Don't rip it out of their hand and be like, oh my God, we don't do that. Instead, be like, no, we're not going to play with knives. Can you please hand me the knife? They'll hand it over. Now when we go to restaurants, my kids literally collect the knives at the table and give them to me because they know they're not allowed to play with it, but I don't ever yell at them for not, don't
also,
play with that.
You, like, I notice you explain to your kids a lot. Like, instead of just saying no or because I said, all right, we all drop a few because I said so, it's fine.
It's more of like
but you
when
explain,
they disobey me.
Like, you're like, hey, you know, you can't open the window while we're driving because
you're going to fall out.
If you fall out, you will die. And the kid's like, oh, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah, like my kids check to make sure the windows are closed before we get out of the car because I told them if you open a window and mommy doesn't know that it's raining and then later on your car seat will be soaking wet. So now they always check
Who
the windows.
Who talks to a three-year-old like that? That's incredible. That's such good shit.
Then I don't have to do everything. They're helping me.
Yes.
At 2 and 3 years old, they know to close doors, close the windows, not to, they'll tell me like a big thing in my family. If my kids are wearing white, I always tell them, you know how mommy is about white. You have to eat very carefully because I freaking lose my mind when I just put an outfit on them and then they go and they get chocolate all over it or something. And they're very aware and they're like proud of themselves when they eat clean. And they're like, mommy, look, my shirt's still white. And I'm like, isn't that like something that a good thing for your kids to know? Like to not be like complete slobs when they leave the house and not eat like gavons. Is that not a thing? Like,
it's definitely a thing. And this is why
I just feel like those are little things that affect how a child develops and grows up.
And you've honestly, and I know this because you beat yourself up all the time, like, but you've mastered parenting and in a really short time. Like, I know that you have bad days and sometimes you don't think you're a good mom or you don't hear it enough, but those three kids are the examples of why you're an amazing mom and why you're doing a good job. Like, they're sweet, kind, helpful, thoughtful. I mean, they're so affectionate. You know, there's like those kids that like won't even like give you a high five.
Or they look at
those fuckers like, always make me feel bad. I'm like, high five. And they're just like, ew. You know, like her kids are the opposite. Like I walk in the door and they're hugging me and they're kissing me and they're just so lovable. And I don't know. It's just whatever parenting skills, like I am going to mimic. And I know it's hard as a new mom to not be over paranoid. Like, do you think you've changed since Skylar? Or do you think that how you've been?
I think people thought that I was going to be like this crazy mom with Skylar. And then I was very much like, if she would trip, I'd be like, you're fine, shake it off, we're okay. Yes. Like, are you bleeding? And like, I'll make a joke and I'll be like, do we need to amputate? And they'll be like, no, no. And then all of a sudden they're fine. Like, there's moms that are like, oh my God, he fell, he's bleeding everywhere. And I'm just like, you're freaking your kid out.
The
like,
kid freaks out. I've seen that happen.
It's okay. Yeah. And they're going to be fine. And unless they're literally gushing blood, I think we're good. Throw a Band-Aid and Neosporin on it and let's call it a fucking day.
Oh, this is my favorite. So I think it was Skylar, like your mom has like a grand piano in her house.
Yeah.
And I think Tracy told Skylar like 40 times, like, don't put your head under the piano. You're going to hit your head. So eventually she hit her head, you know?
Yeah. She forgot that I said it like a million times.
Yeah. And like Tracy, what does she say? Did I not tell you you were going to hit your head? Like, and like Skylar, like she kind of like zonks out of it. Like she's like she listens. I can see she's listening and taking it in. She's like, yeah, shit, you did tell me this. And like, she doesn't cry. She stops. Like she goes to like have a cry episode and then she stops because talked to her.
If I'm like, Skylar, I told you that was going to happen. If you want to find out for things on your own, then go ahead and try things. But I'm telling you, the result is going to be what I'm telling you. And I'm just trying to help you not get hurt. Like when she hit her head, I was like, Sky, I love you and are you okay? But like I told you 50 fucking times, watch your head, babe, because you're not listening. The problem is they zone me out a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why things happen because I do talk to them about everything. It just sometimes they don't hear because they're kids. Like they're not going to take everything I say in. But the things that I can get processed through, like they do take in and they remember it and they're growing from that.
Yeah.
And even Skylar's teachers in school, they're like, Jaden could be in some of the classes Skylar's in and Skylar should be put above because they, even watching them for 10 minutes, they're like, they act like little miniature adults. And it's like crazy to me because I'm like, I don't know when that happened. Like, I don't remember parenting different than anyway else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just happens. I think it's literally just like the person you are and the mom you are. So like the reflection of you, if you're a nervous Nelly, your kid's going to be so fucking nervous about everything. Like stop scaring them.
I also think if you're a helicopter parent, you're going to... This sounds so sad.
It also
to say.
Puts you right into a midlife crisis. Like it makes you go crazy because you don't get a second to breathe for yourself. Like because you're constantly worried about them. Like... Yes. Let them live. Let them learn because it's the only way they're going to learn.
You know, whatever your parenting style, it's great for you, but give it a try. Give it a try being a Tracy type mom and just loosen up and the kid won't die. I promise.
Yeah.
She's got three running rampant and
they're all alive and kicking.
They're all alive. Trust me.
No, they're just, I just feel like I just look at things differently. And I feel like a lot of parents.
Do you think it's because you're a younger mom?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the older you get, the more you're appreciative of that one child that or two children that you have. And then you want to like never let them go because you waited so long. Me being younger, I feel like I have more of a close age gap between me and them. So I understand more. Mm-hmm. And like when they're 16 and I'm 16 plus 26 is 42. They're going to be at their sweet 16. I'm only going to be in my early 40s. Is that right? Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. That's a 12 years. Yeah, that's right. I can't believe I just did math that fast, but
I'm very impressed right now.
I could be wrong and check the math, but I'm going to be in my early 40s. And I feel like that's a really young mom to have because we understand things differently because we're not in their generation, but we understand more of their generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, listen, 45, 50 year old mom's good for you. I'm glad that you were able to have a healthy, successful pregnancy. But like, I just think that I did the right thing for me by having them so young.
Yeah.
And I think it does change your parenting skills because you are a lot less, not carefree, but like, you don't really understand, like, cause I just turned 30. Like I'm still in my 20s when I was having
kids.
You're
still figuring out life.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm learning with them instead of learning at them.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like parents who are a little bit older, maybe like yell at them more because they've lived a whole life and they know how fucked up life
is. Mistakes.
And like me, I'm like, I'm kind of like learning with them. So
I'm going to be the worst annoying mom.
No, you're not. I just saw how you were with Beetle. Like he's so good. He hasn't made a peep since I got here.
I really, really want to mimic your parenting style. I think
thank
it's
you.
Just
I appreciate that. Because a lot of people think I'm like such a shitty mom. And I want to be like, I wish you guys knew like the background of it.
If you guys met these kids in person, like what you see on the internet is exactly how they are. Like they're just, I just love you guys. I love you so much. I hope you listen to this one day and you love me back.
Aww. I'm going to play this for them when they're older.
Sorry, Jaden, that we called you the evil middle child.
No, yeah, you're not, Jaden. You're perfect in every way. Yeah. You just are put here on this earth to be a challenge. And one day you're going to give a man a run for his money.
We have the best part of the show we saved for last, which is our gay best friend advice.
Yes, it's the time.
And he talks about gunkles this week. Do you know what a gunkle is?
Is that a gay reference?
It's a gay uncle.
Shut up. That's the cutest thing.
So
is that like a gusband? Like your gay husband?
Yeah.
Like how like your best friend could be like your husband?
Yeah. Oh, that's cute too. Yeah. It sounds a little more perverted, but.
Yeah, for sure. Gunkle is, it sounds like what you clean out of your bathtub, but that's fine.
So Brandon is here to give us his gunkle advice. Take it away, B.
He is there for us. Now he's there for you. Gay best friend. He'll know what to do. Gay best friend, he'll know what to do.
Hey guys, it's your gay best friend Brandon, and I am coming at you with a giant ass glass of Cabernet, and I'm super excited because today Jessica has asked me to talk about gunkles. What's a gunkle, you might ask? Well, it's a gay uncle. So if you aren't planning on finding your kids a gunkle, then you honestly just shouldn't have kids in the first place. So here, I've put together a list of the top 5 things that your gunkle will give your kids. Number 1, excellent taste in music. Gunkles will have your kids quoting all the world's greatest musical artists by the time they are 3. Who wouldn't want their kids knowing every Lana Del Rey or Britney Spears lyric to ever exist? When your 6-year-old child starts singing, "All of my peaches are ruined, bitch," and "If you seek Amy" at your next dinner party, you'll know that you found yourself the most fantastic gunkle alive. Number 2, a sense of class. Your kids will be drinking their grape juice out of wine glasses, just like Jesus intended. Number 3, confidence. Chances are that a gunkle has dealt with their fair share of people in their lives who have wanted to tear down their confidence. So a gunkle can prepare your child for the inevitable bag of douche that they'll encounter along the way. They'll have your kids looking in the mirror, knowing that they are beautiful creatures of God, and learn the most important words when it comes to dealing with bullies, which are, "Shut the fuck up, trash." Number 4, support. A gunkle will support your kids in whatever they want to do, even if it is sports. I don't know anything about sports, but if Jessica had a kid that was into hockey, I would be right there rooting for them to score a touchdown. And number 5, and most importantly, a gunkle is there for you, the parents, to give you time to be drunk and to fuck, while we be the type of babysitter your kids won't curse you out for leaving you with. I'm so, so excited to one day be a gunkle to Jessica's future child when she inevitably accidentally spends a few months eating Tic Tacs instead of birth control. All right, these were your top 5 reasons why you need to get your kid a gunkle. I'm going to go finish my big glass of Cabernet, so you all have a bright and blessed day, and I will see you next Tuesday. And remember, always trust your gay best friend.
Gay best friend. He'll know what to do.
Wow, gunkle. That's so great. Do your kids have a gunkle?
I don't think we have an official gunkle. Maybe Brandon will have to become. Wow. With his little advice, I support it.
No, we should definitely get Brandon around the kids, yeah, and like be like, this is your gunkle, and see like what they do.
They'll totally think it's normal. They won't think anything of that word.
And Brandon will definitely bring wine glasses.
That's like hysterical. That's amazing, actually.
Thanks, B, for that great advice.
That's awesome.
What do you think? I think we had a really good talk today, Trey.
I think shit got real.
Shit got real. We talked about the P word.
Yeah. I feel bad for people who may have like tuned out earlier because shit got real, but stay tuned because we have a lot of fun stuff and fun topics coming up.
Yeah. Next week is for our single ladies because, you know, too much talk about babies and birth.
Yeah, it's too much.
Taking a little break.
Yeah. We needed a hard pass on that. I just want to thank Dimly Wit for having us on their network again. You guys can visit dimlywit.com to hear more great shows like this. Stand By is a great one. Dress For the podcast.
Oh,
you
and
want is a
Stand By is actually like an SNL type podcast, which
that's
is really
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's super fun. And Dress For the podcast you want is also really cool. So check those out. I also want to thank my babysitters that never let me down, Lisa and Diana. But if you guys could just subscribe and rate us, share this with a friend.
Don't forget, guys, new episodes air every Tuesday. So see you next Tuesday.
Even though we are not your best examples,
We're the best you've got.
So cheers, bitches.
Cheers.
We'll be right back.
hosted on dimlywit.com.